Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 23. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. Now, from here to the remainder of this chapter, Solomon gives several admonitions that, if observed, if obeyed, prove that we truly possess wisdom from God. Again, I can't stress this enough. Correct knowledge is wonderful. You ought to be right. You ought to know what's right. You ought to believe the truth. You ought to embrace it. But that's not all there is to genuine Christianity. Correct knowledge by itself is not enough. It must be practically applied to qualify as wisdom. In other words, what you know, you've got to do. What you believe, you have to practice in order to qualify as wisdom. And so, we as citizens, we as parents, we as church members, our rulers, our leaders, we have to know what's right, we have to do what's right if we're going to be wise in the eyes of God. And certainly that should be one of our goals in life, is to practice wisdom. Last week we spent a considerable amount of time proving how important wisdom is to the Christian life. The wisdom that's from above, that is pure and peaceable and easy to be entreated. These things ought to be evident in our lives as believers. Apply the knowledge that you have. And then he says, it's not good to have respect of persons in judgment. Justice and judgment must always be carried out with strict equity. It should never be swayed one way or other by social standing, by wealth, by race, by bribes. It's to be done according to the standard of righteousness. If you look at history, you'll find that God ruled in the favor of David when he was against Saul. God ruled for David and against Saul. But the very same God is the one who openly rebuked and chastised David for his wickedness, his sin, in the case of Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite. So there you have David, God favoring him when it came to Saul, because David was right and courageous and true. That very same man was held accountable for his adultery, held accountable for his murder, or his plot to murder Uriah the Hittite. God did not show any less justice in either case. He was absolutely fair, absolutely righteous in dealing with David. God always judges righteously according to the truth. God always does right. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the answer is yes. He sees things from an infinite, holy, righteous, just perspective. We often misjudge things because we're tainted by sin. We're prejudiced. We look at things a certain way and we think we're right, and oftentimes we're not. We are subject to failure. Especially if we don't abide by a standard of righteousness. You just can't pick whatever you want to believe and make things work. It won't work in your home. It won't work in society. You've got to have a standard of righteousness and truth. And it's found in the Word of God. It's found in the leadership of the Holy Spirit applying the truth of the Word in your life on a daily basis. That's how you come to make right judgments. It has to be done according to truth. This is the way that justice must be executed among men, if wisdom is to prevail. When God's principles of justice and equity are at work, society will be blessed. Now, no society has ever fully carried out principles of righteousness and wisdom and equity perfectly. None. I don't care what system of government you have. Examine them from history. You will never find one that is absolutely equitable in every respect. Why is that? It's very simple, because it's run by sinners. See? Man at his best state is altogether vanity, less than nothing, worthless, trivial. In comparison to God, we fall so far short. Which is why we need daily to look to God, to ask Him for wisdom, to plead with Him, to guide us in the way of truth, to ask Him to give us the strength to do what's right, to make right judgments, to be equitable in all of our dealings, because we are prone to error. You're prone to sin. You're prone to make wrong judgments and go the wrong way. Be honest with yourself. How many times have you relied on your own ingenuity, your own standard, if you will, of how to operate, and you have failed miserably? I'm asking you to be honest. Not to justify your sin and not to defend the indefensible. We need wisdom if we are going to practice what's right. If we are going to be just. If we are going to be equitable in our society. When those principles are at work, generally speaking, the society will be blessed. I personally believe that if you examine the systems of government through the years, a republic, as the United States was founded, is perhaps one of the best, most efficient, and equitable systems of government, a democratic republic. We aren't a democracy. A democracy, a social democracy, is what Venezuela has. We are a democratic republic. And there is a major difference. But even that, don't ever get the idea that the United States is the standard. The Constitution is not inspired. It's written of men. It's good. It's just. It's equitable. But you know what? It's not infallible. I think it's the best we've got in the human race among the governments of men. It ought to be preserved and respected as such. However, what happens when you're not wise? What happens when you begin, as a society, to do things unjustly? It's sad, but true, that many injustices are promoted by wicked men who fail to judge righteously. Instead, they favor the wicked and punish the righteous. May God help us to be impartial in our judgments. You know, turn over to James chapter 2. Keep your place there in Proverbs. James chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. He says in verses 8 and 9, if ye fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. And he uses the contrast between rich and poor. Somebody that's dressed real nice and somebody that's dressed shabbily. There in the book of James. And he says, don't judge like that. It's wrong. We have to make righteous judgments. Because when a society, when a people, when a family, when a church begins to judge things based on their opinion, their philosophy, their feelings, rather than thus saith the Lord, you're going to have a mess. That's why right now America is in a mess. Because of unrighteous judgment. Because of calling things that are wicked, right. Things that are unholy and impure as perfectly acceptable. It's not. I don't care how you cut it, how you measure it. When you begin to stray from God's simple, forthright, basic truths, you're not going to make wise judgments. You're not going to judge according to the truth. And that leads us to the second section here in verse 24. It says, he that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous. Proverbs 24:24. Him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him, but to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. When rulers and judges pronounce unjust and immoral sentences, it is a detriment to the well-being of any civil society. It destroys people's good faith in their government. It promotes lawlessness and anarchy. To say something is righteous when in fact it's wicked is an abomination. It reveals a moral cancer in a society. It also causes a nation to have a poor testimony among other nations when the impartial rule of law is not followed. Turn over with me to Isaiah chapter 5. There is another, perhaps more pointed warning here. Very clear. The same principle is at work. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Oh, I turned to Isaiah 20. Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Right? It's basically saying you're turning things completely the opposite of what they ought to be. You're, as a society, you're pronouncing something that is awful as though it's good. something that is bitter and cancerous, you're pronouncing it sweet and wholesome. This is what happens when you don't have a guidebook, when you don't have a foundation, when you don't have a plumb line to measure your actions by, your morality by, your life by. God's Word ought to be that standard. It ought to be that authority. And I can promise you, when individuals, when families, when churches, when communities, when governments are measuring their laws and the execution of them by the principles of the Word of God, they're going to be blessed. But on the other hand, you reject the Word, and it's an abomination unto the Lord. He goes on in verse 21, "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Those are people that are self-willed, self-righteous, who think that they are morally superior to God, to His Word, to the principles of Christianity. They declare what's right in their own eyes. It's precisely what happened during the days of the judges, and that's why Israel had such a topsy-turvy history. During that time, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Because, listen, if you operate just on opinion, on philosophy, or on an educational system, rather than a real standard, it can change within a generation. And we've seen the effects of it. Verse 22, "Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him." Now that is a serious sin. When people begin to justify themselves and others who practice wickedness, and at the same time condemn the righteous. Verse 24, "Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." Now, you may be thinking, well, are you calling for a theocracy? That's an impossibility in the current state of civil governments among men. A theocracy is where God rules supreme and His laws are followed to the letter. And that's not going to happen until the millennium, till Jesus Christ rules and reigns on the earth. So the next best thing is that we as individuals, we as families, we as churches, operate according to equitable principles, and then seek to influence by righteous behavior, by truth, by generosity, by kindness, by preaching the gospel, by sharing the truth with others. Hopefully, we'll be like salt and light in our society so that we can affect righteousness. But where the salt and light are not being implemented, where they're not being influential, what you have in Isaiah chapter 5 is going to take place, where things are completely out of order. The problem, we are facing it in our day. If you there in Proverbs it says, He that saith unto the wicked, Thou art righteous, him shall the people curse. Nations shall abhor him. You see, the natural response of citizens toward immoral rulers should be one of moral outrage. Citizens in a just society should expect their rulers and leaders to be moral and impartial. And when that's not the case, citizens should expose their rulers for what they are: dishonest and unjust. They should call them to repentance. Now, think some of the things in our society that are completely backwards. I mean, we actually have a mindset that at least half of the electorate, that a child in the womb is not even a real person. It's a mass of tissue. Even though a sonogram, even at 20 weeks, proves that there's a human being that's living inside the womb of that woman. But at least half of our society, and I know you may think, why are you always harping on this? I'm going to tell you something. Somebody should have been harping on it in the 60s and early 70s. It's the failure of preachers and churches and Christians that we have a genocidal society where 60 million plus babies have lost their lives. It's unjust. It's immoral for the government to pronounce that as something that is okay. It's wrong. Look what's happened to the family. And I believe these two things are tied to evolution, tied to a casting off of the law of God, the fear of God, the Word of God. The value of life has been diminished, and as a result, all of that put together, it has destroyed the moral fabric of families that are close-knit, that stay together, one man, one woman, and raising their children, taking care of their children, nurturing them, teaching them what's right, what's wrong, how to live based on the Word of God. We don't have that now. I think of the injustice that our government has done to black people. They have ripped that community to shreds. You know how they do it? They incentivize busting up families. I don't know what the last statistic I heard, but it's something like 70 or 80% of all black children are born out of wedlock, where there is no father present in the home. Do you wonder why there's so much drugs and crime and bitterness and animosity? You can't have that in a society and expect to have harmony and equity. It won't work. And they're trying to replace God with government. Look to us. We'll provide for your family. It never works.
That's right.
There is something special about a family, about a mom and a dad raising their children in the fear of the Lord. And we're losing that. It doesn't matter what race you are, we're losing it in the United States. It's inequitable. It's unjust. And it has a profound effect upon society. When a society is permeated by wickedness and immorality, the citizens are often just like their leaders, incapable of making a righteous judgment. You know what? This election season, you're going to be told thousands of lies by presidential candidates, by Senate candidates, by representative candidates, candidate, bunch of lies. Some will say it's fantastic. These lies, they're wonderful. Doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat, Independent, and you know what? At the end, when somebody wins and they're called on to say, speak the truth, I was just in campaign mode. Does that make it right? But we, as a society, we've accepted it. You know what? We're going to get the leaders that we deserve. It is sad indeed when a nation is cast off by God as a reprobate. The Bible says in Psalm 9:16-17, the Lord is known by the judgment which He executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Now, on the other hand, when wickedness is exposed by righteous rulers, a blessing will come upon society. Verse 25, but to them that rebuke shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. We need to pray for God to raise up leaders around the world who will follow principles of equity and righteousness rather than injustice and immorality. A person, a home, a church, a community, a society, a nation cannot expect to be blessed by God if it's walking in darkness and rebellion. God will never bless that which He hates and is contrary to His nature. Psalm chapter 7, verse 11 says, God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. Isn't it interesting? When I determined that I was going to preach on Proverbs 24 to start this year out, I had no idea that it had all these moral imperatives for society and for a just and a civil society. But here it is. These are simple pearls of wisdom on how a society at every level, individually, as families, as churches, as communities, as a federal, this is how we ought to operate. With wisdom, justice, and equity. Condemning that which is wrong and sinful, exposing it as such, and God's blessings for obedience. It's always been a very simple principle. Whenever that gets out of kilter, you will have chaos in your home. You'll have chaos in your church. And as you can see, you'll have chaos in society at large. I mean, we've got real problems. I've really paid attention probably the last 10 or 12 years. But I can't remember as much racial animus and hatred and bitterness in my entire lifetime. And it's a result of calling evil good and good evil.
That's right.
Let's all stand.
Page number 10.